Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, October 1st. In addition to electing a new governor this November, Colorado voters will see two items on the ballot for funding transportation projects. They both find a way to pay for road construction, but each one goes about it differently. In our ongoing capital coverage of amendments that will be on the November ballot, KUNC's Matt Bloom dug into Propositions 109 and 110 and breaks them down.
To understand why there are dueling transportation funding questions on the ballot, you need to go back in time, specifically 27 years ago.
Remember 1991? George Bush was president? No, the other one. The Soviet Union was still a thing.
As this campaign ad also states, it was the last time Colorado raised the gas tax to 22 cents a gallon to pay for road projects.
So let's go, Colorado. Vote yes on 110.
The gas tax hasn't been an adequate source of funding for a long time, meaning more and more projects had to be put off to the point where now the state faces about a $9 billion price tag to get its current to-do list finished.
The reason we really strongly support Initiative 110 is it raises about $767 million a year.
Kelly Bruff is president and CEO of the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce. 110 would raise the statewide sales tax from 2.9% to 3.52% for 20 years to pay back up to $6 billion in bonds. The funding would be divided among both state and local governments for projects.
The truth is, we need to pay if we'd like to improve our quality of life in terms of our transportation experience in the state of Colorado. And we have a strategy where you pay very little and we can get huge improvement.
We don't know what we're getting with this tax increase.
That's John Caldera. He's with the libertarian think tank Independence Institute, which is backing a different proposal.
We don't know what transit projects. We don't know what the cities will do with their slush fund. It brings in a lot of money. And we're not certain.
That certainty is exactly what Caldera is flaunting as the edge for Proposition 109.
It tells the Department of Transportation to bond for $3.5 billion to be used for 66 specific projects around the state. And it says you will get going on all these projects and you will not raise taxes or fees to pay it back.
109 is also bluntly called Fix Our Damn Roads. It's also a 20-year plan. Caldera says its biggest strength is that it's been done before.
It's not a new idea at all. In 1999, then Governor Bill Owens was facing a similar situation.
The state was flush with surplus money, but none of it was going toward roads. So Owens, a Republican, put forward a bonding question, the Transportation Expansion Project, or T-REX. It added extra lanes to I-25 south of Denver and more than 19 miles of light rail track around the city.
And it worked beautifully.
But Bruff says the downside to Caldera's plan is that the money to pay back the bonds is not identified and would have to come from somewhere else in the state budget.
Most likely, we believe you'd have to take it either out of higher ed. Our higher ed funding is 48 out of 50th in the country. Out of our K-12 system, we're 55% of our school districts currently on 4-day school weeks, so they're probably going to have to go to less. And out of health care.
With both campaigns critical of the other's approach to the funding issue, the situation begs the question, what if voters pass both measures?
It's a wonderful intellectual question, but I don't see that at all.
Kelly Bruff's campaign also doesn't see it working out that way.
And so I think what you'd invite is a lot of legal wrangling about what you get to spend your money on in your local community. And we think that should be their decision about what's most important.
Neither Bruff nor John Caldera want to think about the other possibility, which is neither question passes. But if so, state lawmakers have a backup plan. They have a question on deck for the 2019 ballot that would ask voters to bond about $2 billion for transportation projects. I'm Matt Bloom.
It was a homecoming of sorts for Rebecca Claren last Friday. The former High Country News reporter and Paonia resident returned to the North Fork Valley for Harvest Fest and to read from her debut novel, Kick Down. Claren read from her book to a full house at the Paonia Library. Her book is set in Silt and is about the realities of living next to oil and gas development. She based many of the novel's fictional people and events on her experiences as a writer in Paonia. She spoke with KVNF News after the reading and talked about the role Paonia played in the writing of her novel.
In so many small and big ways, there's so much of the town and the people of Paonia in the book. It's set in Sylt, but it's a really fictionalized version of Sylt. And I loved living here, and I loved the experience. I grew up in Seattle, and I live in Portland now, so I'm very much an urban person, but I just loved living in the rural West and getting to really experience firsthand what it's like to live in a small, beautiful town in the mountains.
Claren joins a long list of artists, writers, painters, and performers who have made Paonia and the North Fork Valley a subject in their art. KVNF News asked her why she thinks the area is such rich artistic fodder.
I've wondered that too. I think it's a unique place because I think it is affordable, or at least it used to be. I'm not sure about now. It's affordable. It's inspiring. I have a friend who I knew when I lived here who said, I can live in New York City or I can live here, because they both inspire awe. And I think that really counts, so that when you sit down to try and do creative work, what's the thing that stays with you, that grabs you by the gut, that doesn't let you go? I missed this place. So when I lived in Portland, I loved getting to go to the dark corners of my mind and hang out in Paonia.
National parks in Colorado and across the nation may be a step closer to getting much-needed repairs. Eric Galatis has more.
A U.S. Senate committee could vote as soon as Tuesday on a measure that could inject billions of dollars into national parks in Colorado and across the nation. If passed, the Restore Our Parks Act would approve up to $6.5 billion over 5 years to be used to address the $11 billion maintenance backlog at national parks. Marcia Argust with the Pew Charitable Trust says Colorado's 12 national parks and monuments are the backbones of many local economies.
In Colorado, where Senator Gardner is a strong supporter of the Restore Our Parks Act, parks contributed $484 million in direct spending to communities last year, and parks supported over 7,000 jobs.
In total, Colorado's national parks needed $238 million in 2017 for deferred maintenance. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, October 1st. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.